It's a Thursday, it's crunch time, and that means it's time for our view from the north. He's doing his thing now. NBC Sports Northwest online, NBCSports.com/Northwest. On the tube, he's talking Ducks, all kinds of things. Channel 737 via your Xfinity system. On Twitter, it's Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, happy Thursday. How are things?
Things are all right, man. How are things with you?
Good. No complaints. Nobody listens anyway.
Wait, no one's listening? Why am I wasting my time?
Yes, I've achieved my goal. I have the first anonymous radio show ever, and they continue to pay me. So, obviously the big story is Jim Leavitt leaving. You and the actual journalists I know have your ear to the ground. You have sources. Like I say, I just go day to day hoping they don't figure out the scam I'm running here and fire me. But what was your reaction when you heard they were mutually parting ways with their defensive coordinator?
I was pissed because I actually been following this for 3 weeks and Matt Prehn beat me to it. if you're out there listening, Matt, I'm pissed. Matt's my homie, but no, man, I've been knowing this was coming for 3 weeks. I just didn't have, you know, that I'm very particular about breaking news.
Sure.
And I have to have something iced before I will put it out there. But I actually started a blog post early last week. Just put Leavitt in the headline and a photo of Jim Leavitt because I knew this was coming. I just was trying to, you know, dot my I's and cross my T's. But anyway, no, so when it finally happened, I wasn't surprised at all. Like, this was going down. I almost posted something yesterday or the day before, but I was just like, I had to get one more source on it, and I didn't. I just feel totally 100% comfortable from a print standpoint.
Right.
But so anyway, long story short, I'm not surprised at all. This was coming. And I also felt last summer that this might be a one-year thing with Cristobal anyway, because going back to the end of the 2017 season when Taggart left, Leavitt wanted that job.
Oh, yeah.
Badly. Well, he didn't get it. And let's face it, his resume is better than Cristobal's. Anyone can go look on Wikipedia right now and look at their coaching record as head coaches. It's not close. But Leavitt has that whole thing from the past, did he strike a player or not? And to be honest, Cristobal is just more polished as a front man, I would say, than Leavitt is. And that might have played a part in it, almost like it was one of the criticisms of Valiotti, right? When he wasn't as polished as a front man. So it was obvious that Cristobal was probably going to get it between the two. But I could totally see where Leavitt was going to be bitter about that. And there was talk that he was going to leave. He was mad. I was hearing from people saying that Leavitt was like, he's out of there. I'm leaving. Screw this. This is BS, et cetera, et cetera. But I felt at the time that he wasn't going to find very many programs that would be willing to pay him what Oregon was paying him. Oregon was paying him 1.1 at the time as if he was the second cousin of Buddy Ryan. All because he had this one amazing season at Colorado as a defensive coordinator. Prior to that, he'd only been a co-defensive coordinator before at Kansas State. He obviously had been a good head coach, but it was just weird to me that he was being treated like this deity almost. And so then Oregon's reaction to losing Taggart, which obviously stung, was to try and keep as much of the staff as possible. And when Leavitt was pissed about not getting the head coaching job, Oregon ponied up with a 55% raise, 53% raise, up to $1.7 million. It was incredible, right? But there was still that friction, and so I wondered how long that was going to last, and clearly it lasted 1 year.
And by the way, with you, everything's got to come down to the 85 Bears and the 46 defense.
You know what? You know what my son said to me the other day? Wait, was it my son or someone else? I made some analogy. I used Michael Jackson. He's like, you're always using the Michael Jackson analogy. I'm like, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm always Bears, Bulls, Cubs, and Michael Jackson in almost all of my analogies. I'm a Bear. The thing is, I might be limited in my scope, but damn, I am deep in those scopes. Like, I have a doctorate in all four of those things.
And the irony, of course, Chicago, and Gary, Indiana is not really that far from Chicago. So you can kind of tie it all in there.
There you go.
Now, one thing, I want to get back to what you said about Leavitt, because resume-wise, I mean, He took over a horrible defense in Colorado. 2 years later, he had him from 120th in points to 20th, and they won the division.
Right.
We've never seen an Oregon defense like 2016. They were awful. And last year, up to 48th. So from a football angle, should fans be concerned? Because do we know the next man up will be his equal?
Well, the Colorado thing was interesting because that team the 2 years prior to Leavitt, or Leavitt was there 2 years, right?
Right.
So when the year before Leavitt, they were really bad, and they mostly had sophomores starting. And then what happened is that defense grew with Leavitt the next 2 years, and that last year with Leavitt, he had about 8 or 9 seniors, and most of them had been 3 year starters. And I remember at a media day in 2017, I talked to some Colorado players. And people were talking to McIntyre about Leavitt's departure. And it was like, McIntyre was like, there was no way we were going to match what Oregon was paying. And was like, wow, go ahead. You got to take that. And some of the players I asked, I was like, okay, how much of it was Leavitt? How much was it the fact you guys had a senior-dominated defense that had grown up in 3 years? And they were like, well, clearly, Leavitt's a great coach. But, yeah, we did have a lot of great experience. They thought it was both. So they weren't feeling like they lost a guy who was single-handedly responsible for that great season. And one side note to that great season, I just like to throw this out just because it's kind of funny, you know how I am. But Oregon lost to Colorado that year in 2016 at home, remember that?
Yeah.
That was an offense minus Freeman, minus Crosby, who was done for the season, minus Devin Allen, who just got injured in Nebraska and lost for the season, and had Prue Cup at quarterback, and they put up 508 yards on Leavitt's defense. Just saying. Just throwing it out there if I just like to. But anyway, so my feeling was this was a good defensive coordinator who was being made into a godlike figure because Oregon had just had two bad years on defense, and then Leavitt, there was nowhere to go but up. And I think they only lost one legit senior, Johnny Reagan III, from the previous year. There might have been another one maybe I'm missing. So you were turning everyone that had taken their lumps, so they were gonna improve. So I thought that was blown out of proportion. And then this season, we saw them take a step back. The last rankings I looked at, they finished 55th in the nation in total yards. I don't know about points. And that was one of the easiest schedules Oregon has faced in ever. So they regressed after you gave this guy a $600,000 raise. So to me, it's like, okay, if he's this defensive guru, you have most of the defensive backs in the 28th ranked defense. You're playing a lesser schedule. We just gave you 600 grand more, and you regressed to 55? What is that? So to answer your question, from a football standpoint, I don't think Leavitt's irreplaceable. The question is Keith Hayward ready to be at least as good as Leavitt?
Is that what you're hearing, that it's a bump from within? Because they sent out the press release and they said that, now begins a national search. I don't know if that's lip service, but would you bet that it's going to be Hayward that gets the gig?
I've been told by 3 people it's Hayward's job.
Oh, all right.
I just posted something on my whole take on this on NBCSportsNorthwest.com, and I put it in there, according to sources, Hayward's the guy. I think Matt Cream even had Hayward in his article. So that seems to be the consensus. Nothing's guaranteed. Who knows? But, dude, who are you going to find in February?
That's what I was saying. You would think by now it's not a good time to look for a college job.
Exactly. Unless there's some – and I'll be honest, I don't keep track of who the top defensive coordinators in the country are. For all I know, there's 5 great DCs sitting around, or maybe there's one who's been hanging out, laying in the weeds, knowing this was going to happen and was asked to wait till February by Cristobal. I don't know. But everything I'm hearing is that's going to be key.
All right, we're talking.
Who, by the way, was a co-defense coordinator anyway.
Right.
So obviously, it would make sense to elevate him, or Joe, or both.
We're talking with Aaron Fentress, hashtag am I right? I got to ask you about, we'll get right back to your wheelhouse, Michael Jordan. So I thought it was a riot. They asked him, Westbrook breaking the triple-double streak or Harden scoring 30 and 30 straight? What's a better accomplishment? And of course he says, winning 6 titles. And I'm just thinking, I was thinking of you and one of my other buddies who just started, on the MJ panel. And I'm like, is that the most Jordan answer ever?
I love it. And that's how all Jordan fans who follow him during his years should respond to that as well. I've almost taken on the same level of disdain for these discussions as the 72 Dolphins do whenever someone is flirting with undefeated. You know,
yep.
Like, just come talk to me when you win six. I don't want to hear about, oh, you faced this or you faced that or this is different or that is different. You know what? I don't want to hear it. Win six or shut the hell up.
All right. Well, I'm still working
the thing
on
is, I think the younger generation looks back at that era and thinks, oh, well, of course they won six. It wasn't a big deal. But at the time, those of us who were there remember it was anything but considered easy or expected. I mean, it was a big deal, and it should continue to be a big deal 30 years later.
Oh, yeah. Of course, people forget that when he came back, he walked into a dynasty. But those first three were knockdowns. I mean, you know, the Blazers were good. That was a good Suns team. The Knicks were good. I know people are like, that never happened. But they were really good then. All right.
Well, and then that magic team with Shaq and Penny, they had to dethrone those guys. During that second run, even though they had won 72 games in 95-96, when they played Orlando in East Finals, I was legitimately afraid of that team. They were so – that starting five to me is still one of the most perfect starting fives ever with Penny, Nick Anderson, Dennis Scott, Shaq, and Horace Grant. Like, for everyone fitting their position perfectly and complementing each other, that team been able to stay healthy and stay together and Shaq hadn't left, they would have won a couple titles.
Yeah, I agree. They were formidable and a little bit annoying. One thought. So as somebody who covers football, you played football, you coach it, it's kind of in your DNA. I'm a brat. To me, football starts around Labor Day and ends with Super Bowl Sunday. Then I get into college basketball, NBA, golf, MLB, and all that. What's your level of interest in this new football league, if any at all?
I forgot it was starting. I saw something on Twitter about it the next day after the first weekend. And then some highlights were shown, and my son goes, what's that? I go, that's the Alliance Football League, whatever. I don't even know who's in it. I think Trent Richardson's playing in it, right?
I guess so. I didn't watch.
I think he scored a touchdown. Here's something that's funny. So I have an eBay sports card store. I buy and sell cards. I still have some Trent Richardson cards that obviously tank. But I have them on eBay, and all of a sudden I sold two back-to-back, and I was like, oh, that was weird. I sold some Trent Richardson cards. And then later that night, literally – the next day, I saw highlights of him scoring a touchdown. I'm like, he scored a touchdown in this Alliance League, and someone decided to go buy themselves a couple of Trent Richardson rookie cards. So it was kind of bizarre. But if I accidentally come across it because it's football, I think I'd watch it, but I'm not going to follow it.
I see what you mean. Yeah. But hang on to those Trent Richardson cards. They probably went up to 3.25. You don't want to part with those.
No, that was one of those guys that I took a bath on, man. I think one of the cards I sold, I literally paid like $50 for, and I think I just sold it for like $6.
So put that with your Tony Mandarich cards. Folks, he's Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest. On Twitter, it's at Aaron J. Fentress. Hey, good stuff as always, my friend. Have a great one. We'll catch up next week.
All right, man. Take care.
Take it easy.